Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, in the Jayhawk Talk Studios, Andrew. Andrew, how you doing today?
Kevin, I'm doing pretty good. We've got a real basketball coming up on Friday. We've got a fake one on Tuesday, and then a real one against Tennessee State on Friday to get us prepared for Kentucky next week. It's getting a little colder out there. The days are getting shorter, but we can all be comforted with the warmth of the KU basketball team. The Jayhawks are in season, and I, for one, can't wait to get everything going.
Yeah, it's official now. Like, it is full-on basketball season. It feels really good, too. We did have a football game yesterday. We'll probably talk about that for a minute. On Twitter, that seems to be what people are talking about. I had literally have 100 mentions starting late last night to now. I counted them right before this podcast. Every single one is about KU football.
Why are... This is my thought. We'll get to this. We'll get to this. I want to talk about KU football for just a little bit. But okay. There was a guy sitting behind me yesterday at the football
You were at
game.
The game. Bless
yes,
you,
I was,
by the way.
I was you. At the game. I was at the game. And he was so worked up. Like, he was... It was... Like, almost in tears. Like, why don't we run the ball? Why? And I was like, you know what? Life is too short to get that worked up
about KU football.
Like, we can get worked up about KU basketball like that. But, like sure. Almost in tears. It just, incredible. Like, you know, people are loud and people should cheer. But this guy was having a damn near mental breakdown.
Yeah,
and I had my mental breakdown in like 2014. So like
yeah,
now
I'm beyond
I don't
that.
Care. I'm like, I don't even care. I'm done.
I'm past that stage.
We'll get to that, but let's talk about some more positive. We're gonna do the KU basketball preview. Last week was the preview. Now we're doing the preview. We're gonna talk about the roster. Who's gone? Who's new? Who's gonna be the starters? We did that a little bit last week, but you know, just to get a good, solid foundation of you know who this team's gonna be. Then we're gonna take a look at each of our non-conference games. We're gonna take a look at some storylines, some postseason awards, and then do a little segment, a new segment that I think that we're all gonna enjoy. We'll just give you a little preview. It's called Hey Beal.
Hey Beal.
Hey Beal.
Hey Beal.
That's segment. It. So we're That's excited to get to that one. But do we want to do football first just to get it out of the way?
Yeah, we could do that. I see you have it like almost last on the rundown, but we could lead with it.
That was
you
yeah,
want to?
Let's just get it. I want to get it over with.
And that was talking football. So let's move.
No, I was talking football. it was bad.
Go ahead. You were
yeah,
there.
So I thought we were going to win and. Because we played well the first half a quarter, maybe. And by that, I mean, like, we held them to 0 points. But then they scored 21 points in the second quarter, and it was bad. I mean, they're an 0-8 team, decimated by their coach, all of their coaches basically leaving, decimated by their roster being decimated because of a rape scandal. They're 0-8, and we got destroyed by them. Destroyed.
Yep.
And that's it. Like, I don't have any other comment. I mean, I think that
it was a 7.5-point line, and I'm as you know, I like to dabble in sports betting. I thought the under, it was like under 62, was a lock, and that ended up being very much a lock. But I didn't know how to bet it, Andrew. We saw KU look a little better last week. We've seen Baylor be all world bad, and then it turns out we are way worse than all world bad.
Theoretically, this was whether you take the Power Five teams or not. These are the last two teams, right? These are the two worst teams in the Power Five. So if there's 64 teams in the Power Five, this is 63 versus 64. And we got destroyed, Kevin. Destroyed.
It's real bad. So the discussion today is the same one that's been basically all season. Fire everybody, clean house, blah, 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 right? Like, that's what you're hearing. And I did see on KUSports.com this morning that there is a story that says time to move on. I think, I don't know who wrote it. I can't remember now, but Time to move on from this leadership. So the Lawrence local media, even the KU Sports, very friendly to the athletics department, is now out there saying that too. I think that it's not going anywhere. Like, we're going to have Zanger back. We're going to have Beatty back next year. Do you agree?
I think they'll be back. I think they have to be back. And I think that's the easy answer to say that they should be fired. That's a knee-jerk reaction. And I know it's a terrible product and a terrible football team, but with Shea and Zanger, they would not have allowed him to go after this $300 million capital campaign to build a new football stadium if there was any inclination that he wouldn't be back next year or be back, you know, in January as he's going through this. And I think Beatty's in the same boat as him. You know, I think that at the beginning, we all said Beatty, we had to give Beatty 5 years because it was so bad. You know, he's in his, this is his fourth season? This is fourth season or third?
I think it's the third.
Third season. Yeah, it's his third. So he'll be going into his fourth. You know, we've got to give him some credit. We've got to give him something to work with. You know, and I think that if you're confident that you're one of those guys that, like, oh, we can go get Les Miles. We can go get Chip Kelly. One, you're irrational, and that's impossible. But if you think you can go get somebody, then that's fine. Like, you can have that fire Beatty, fire Zanger mentality. But I don't feel that way. I don't think anyone would want to come here.
Yeah, that's the problem. And you actually, Zanger's smart because you're right about the capital campaign, the $300 million starting to raise, et cetera, et cetera. He might need to see that through, or there might be some thought that he's seeing that through. And then you have to give Beatty at least one more year because, again, exactly to your point, nobody's coming here. There is no one knocking down the door to come coach KU football. And here's the real dilemma. You give him another year, right? And he has a little better year. Because he probably will have a little better year next year. Otherwise, he definitely deserves to be fired because we are rock bottom, basement floor. You can't go any lower right now as a program. Unless Adidas, that thing blows up and it turns out the football program's the one they were paying. So, like, we can't go any worse. So he's going to be better next year. And then you're faced with this dilemma. Okay, is he the guy? Like, that's the question you have to ask. Because is he the guy? Is he going to continue to improve? Or is this just a reaction to rock bottom and he's just a little better now? And that's the problem that Zanger's going to have to decide next year, if Zanger's still there, assuming he is. I think he will be. That you have to give him 4 years. You have to give him to the end of 4 years, unless it's just an unmitigated disaster, which it very well could be. And well, then you know.
I mean, we've got we've played all our easy games this year, Kevin. We've got Oklahoma State left.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean,
we've got Oklahoma left.
This year is, yeah, we're not.
I mean, if we give up 1,000 yards to Oklahoma,
we might.
Even me, even Keel, like, oh, we need to give these guys some time, maybe start to change my mind.
Well, that's the question. Like, if Zanger knows right now that he is not the guy, and if, you know, he's getting pressure from the, you know, from donors and from the president, from all these people of the university, if they actually come to him and say, we gave him a shot, we love the guy, but he's not the guy. And then all of this changes. That's a totally different, you know, discussion. But if it's possible he's the guy, like, you have to give him another year. And even if it's a remote possibility, because you still got to pay him $3.5 million to buy him out. Like, so at this point, unless you have somebody who's knocking down the door to come coach KU, which you don't, or you know he's not the guy, 100% unequivocally not the guy. And I think most KU fans would say he's not the guy, but the AD who hired him has to know that too. And I'm not sure he does. And so until that point, you got to keep him and you got to give him another year. And I hate to say it. I don't want, you know, I'm almost to that point too. I think most people are, that he's not the guy, but, you know, man, it's tough.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, that was talking football.
That was talking football. Okay, KU basketball time. Let's talk about the roster. So last year, great team, Elite Eight team, a little disappointing, but Frank Mason was National Player of the Year. I think we can all say, like, it was a fun team to watch. Didn't get to the Final Four, but we love that team. We lost Frank, we lost Landon Lucas, we lost Josh Jackson, and we lost Tyler Self. all important cogs to the success of last year's team. That's a lot. Any other team losing that much would probably see a setback, but I don't know if we will. I don't know. I think we're going to be a competitive team. So let's look at who we're returning. We're returning LeGerald, Devontae, Sviatoslav, Udoka Azabuke, and Mitch Lightfoot. Those are the, you know, that's really all we're returning in terms of guys who played last year, which is, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, it's it when you lose your basically your two best players and Frank and Josh, and then basically the two guys that made this team go, other than maybe Devontae, that's a huge loss. But so it makes sense that most of the scoring is not coming back with those two gone, and then obviously Landon Lucas being gone. So, but the good news is, like, Udoka, he was there for a little while, but then we didn't feel like he was there. But he would have been a big player last year, and now we get him back. So it's kind of like he's, you know, it's kind of like he is a returner, but he's actually returning from what he could have been. So that's exciting. And then Devontae, man, I think Devontae's ready to step out of Frank's shadow. He was able to defer last year. He should have deferred last year to Frank. Frank was amazing. But now Devontae gets his chance, and I think he's going to take advantage of it. So it feels like a lot's gone, but the people that are stepping up in those roles are, you know, I think poised to really step out. And then the folks that were role players, we're talking about like LeGerald Vick, like that guy, I think is going to have a great year. And then when you got Malik coming off Malik coming back from his year off, that's like a returning guy because he's a bona fide starter. So this team's I think it's going to be just fine, even losing, two amazing players that are obviously getting some pretty good minutes in the NBA right now.
Well, let's talk about the newcomers a little bit. You mentioned Malik Newman. You know, he's going to be probably a 15-point game a guy, if not more. I mean, he's going to be shooter. He's going to be, you know, your pure two shooting guard. He's going to score a lot of points and play well on both ends. You got Sam Cunliffe, comes in December. He's a transfer from Arizona State. Athletic guy, can dunk the ball. I'm curious to see where he fits in. He's going to play the three. He's going to play the wing. We're not a deep team, but we're a little crowded there. So I'm excited to see, or at least interested to see, where he's going to fit in. We've also got Billy Preston, one of the highly regarded recruits that we're bringing in, you know, power forward. He, if you watched the game last Tuesday against Pitt State, Billy Preston's got a little bit of the T-Rob, Thomas Robinson disease, where he wants to play point guard.
Hey, but he's good at it. I'm actually okay with it.
He's good at it. He got hurt. Yeah. Going 1-on-4, he bumped his head. He got taken out for the rest of the game.
Except for that play. That wasn't a great play. But he could dribble. He can. I think he actually has that game a little bit more than T-Rob did, but
there's a long history in Kansas basketball of big guys wanting to play point guard, and I think he fits in well alongside Thomas Robinson, both Morris twins, and, you know, going back, I would say that Simeon was actually pretty good at it. It's a couple other guys, but, you know, they're long tradition, and so he's going to fit in well, and I think he'll be a storyline going forward, how quickly he figures things out. And then the other newcomer, Marcus Garrett, taller guard, plays incredible defense. I don't know if you've watched his defense in a couple games. Incredibly well-skilled on the defensive end. And I think on the offensive side, too. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, the biggest player for us this year, but exciting to see where he's going to be in the future, because I think he's going to be better than we thought.
No, I agree. I think I read somewhere that he led his high school team in like five categories, rebounds included. And I think he's going to be a Bill Self type guard. In fact, I think I can't remember who it was, but the coach of his high school team is like a Bill Self guy somewhere down and had some connection to the program. And so he, or at least plays very similarly. So I think he's going to be a defense to offense guy. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. He'll be around a little while. And then, Andrew, I'm a little excited about Cunliffe. I may be the only one, but this is a guy like we don't know a lot about. And, you know, he was a pretty highly recruited guy coming out of school. He started at Arizona State, averaged double figures in points. He can shoot. He's kind of a versatile guy. He says he can play 1-4. Not sure about that. But, you know, I don't know what he's going to bring, but if anything, he brings depth, which we obviously need. I mean, we need depth on this team. So at very least, he brings a guy who can play some minutes, and that's good.
And I think so, too. He'll come in, I think, the Nebraska game is the first game he can play. A couple other guys we need to note. We've got some great transfers. Our bench transfer guys are probably, you know, throw those three guys and then two other random guys, and they probably finish third in the Big 12. We've got KJ Lawson, Dedrick Lawson, and Charlie Moore. The Lawson brothers are from Memphis, and Charlie Moore is from Cal. They're all great. They're all being incredible next year. The unfortunate thing is they have to sit the bench, and they, you know, can't do anything all year. So they're going to get a whole year of practice under Bill Self against this pretty good team, and they'll be ready to go next year.
Yeah, you could probably put the Lawsons and their two younger brothers and their cousin as a top five team, and they would be a nationally ranked team. they got two little brothers, a top 25 recruit in 19 and a top 10 recruit in the class of 21 right now, in the family. And then DJ Jeffries there, I think he's a cousin, is a 2019 guy, top 10 guy. I mean, so Bill Self, if he's able to get the Lawson connection down, this was a coup getting these guys to Lawrence.
But unfortunately, they will be on the bench. One other guy of note we need to mention, Chris Tehan.
Yes.
Connor Tehan's brother. You know, rich tradition of Tehans in the KU basketball world. I don't know anything about Chris Tehan other than maybe he can shoot three-pointers. Ooh. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
That's the difference between you and I, because I am one of 22 people that have watched his highlights on online. I can't remember what's the scouting site that like puts
Huddle.
I think it's Huddle. Like 22 people who've watched his basketball highlights. More have watched his football highlights, by the way. But I think
maybe he should be on the football team.
No,
maybe
kidding.
We can lend him out.
He had 22 views, but yeah, he was making some threes. He's got some height. I think they said he's 6'4", which probably means he's 6'1.5". But like whatever. Like he's a Rockhurst guy, Connor's brother. I love it. I'm happy he's on the team.
All right, Kevin, let's look into the non-conference schedule. Let's just spend just a tiny bit on each of these games. I'm going to walk through it, and then I'm going to have you make a prediction, win or loss, okay?
Okay.
So we got Fort Hays on Tuesday.
Win.
It's our last exhibition game. Okay, way to go out on a limb there and predict a win, Kevin, against Fort Hays. But the real season starts on Friday, ooh, and that's against Tennessee State. They are ranked 212th in KenPom. Last year, they finished 8th in the Ohio Valley Conference. Kevin, our warm-up game, first game getting ready for Kentucky. What are your thoughts?
I think we're going to win it. And I know nothing else about Tennessee State. I'm sorry. I did no prep on Tennessee State. And I probably won't do any more prep on Tennessee State other than to note that they were 212th in KenPom. And they will be a nice, real test before we go to Kentucky or play Kentucky.
And I tried to give you what they finished last year in their conference, because Bill Self likes to say, you know, we played five teams that won their conference last year. I think as we go through this, we'll see that this is a lackluster non-conference schedule.
Yeah.
Compared, I mean, and we're just spoiled in other seasons where we're playing top teams all over the place. This one is not like that. It could have been if things shook out differently. Like if we were playing Washington with Michael Porter or Syracuse was good, you know, things could shake out differently, but it did not shake out that way.
Right.
The other game next week is on the 14th. That's in Chicago, and that's against Kentucky, and they are second in KenPom. They've got some key players. Hamidou Diallo, a shooting guard, who's a freshman, and Kevin Knox. Those are the two guys you probably want to pay attention to. They're likely going to start four freshmen.
Yeah, youngest team they've ever had.
Likely will play five freshmen for a lot of the game. So, I mean, this is early on for Kentucky. I mean, this is the second game of the season for us. I think it's their second game as well. What are your thoughts? I mean, they're second in KenPom. They're, I think, fifth in the AP poll. And we're a little more experienced team. So how do we match up?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we always talk about how Kentucky is – you know, got a new team and lots of new faces. This is the, like, all the way on that. I mean, they have eight new players, all of which will have a role on the team. The youngest team they've ever had under Calipari, which even that statement is pretty nuts because they've had some really crazy young teams. You know, he's doing all the stuff that he always says, oh, we're so far off and we're a ways away and we've got a long ways to go and all I'm getting is excuses and blah, blah, blah. He's pretty good at early season kind of motivating stuff, just like Self is, all the great coaches are. But I think they're really good. I think they're going to be tough, and obviously they'll be up for this game. They have a system that it's a little easier to quote roll the ball out and get and play well. And they've obviously got talent. I think that our advantage obviously is that we've got some guys who've been there before. And so we'll see just kind of how big the stage is. It's a huge stage. I mean, we've got 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing each other. It's nuts. At the Champions Classic. Really cool venue, really cool opportunity to get an early look at all of these teams against some really quality opponent. And I think that KU has a really good shot here, mostly because of that experience. I think on paper, they've got an amazing team who's going to be there, you know, obviously in March and playing better than they are right now. Our hope is that we've got a higher floor than they do at this moment, and I think we probably do. So we'll see.
And, you know, it'll be an interesting game. Like, that Champions Classic is just incredible to watch every year. Moving on, let's talk about South Dakota State. That's on the 17th of November. They're 122nd in KenPom. They finished 6th in the Summit League. Any initial thoughts, Kevin?
Nope.
Okay. win, loss?
Win. Although they're higher in KenPom than some of the schools that you might be directional small state schools. 122nd. Sure. That's not like awful.
Okay. But. Next, that's the Texas Southern. This is Thanksgiving weekend or week. They're ranked 266th in KenPom. They finished first in the SWAC last year. They're 16 seed, lost to North Carolina in the first round. Pretty low. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I'm not going to act like I did a lot of prep on Texas Southern, but I love that we've got this nice little stretch, this four-game stretch, South Dakota State, Texas Southern, Oakland, and Toledo, where we can get our young guys a lot of playing time, like all the playing time. Let them play through mistakes. Well, we don't have enough people to bring off the bench to not let them play through mistakes, but let them learn, play through mistakes, and get better for the conference season.
Okay, let's move on and talk about Oakland. The vaunted Oakland from Detroit, they're 60th in KenPom. They finished first in the Horizon League. They made it to the NIT and beat Clemson in the first round.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
This team's actually a top 100 KenPom team and you know, a nice little test in between. Obviously being played at Allen Fieldhouse, so I'm not going to, you know, predict a close game or a loss or anything, but maybe a little better test than some of these others in there.
Okay, Toledo is on the 28th. They're 184th in KenPom. They finished 7th in the Mid-America. I'll just chalk you up for a win, and let's move on
to Syracuse.
We'll move on to Syracuse. We're playing this game in Miami. Now, Syracuse is ranked 68th in KenPom. Last year, they were kind of up and down. They were a ninth. They finished 9th in the ACC, did not make the NCAA tournament. They were a one seed in the NIT, but didn't do much in the NIT. They lost their leading scorer from last year.
Who's that, Andrew?
A gentleman by the name of Andrew White.
Hey.
But they also lost pretty much everyone else. They're bringing in, you know, a bunch of guys. Their best player is probably Tyus Battle. That's probably a name folks recognize from the recruiting circuit, and, you know, he's been around for a little bit. He'll make a bunch of threes, but I don't know if this team's going to be any good.
Yeah, this will be a good test. At least it's an away game. I mean, it's not like a true away game, other than, you know, it's on a neutral site. But good to get outside of Lawrence a little bit for a couple of games. We don't really have much of an away game schedule, so this is good to sort of get folks on the road. And Syracuse will be an okay test. That zone, we should be pretty good against this year. I mean, if we are making three pointers and shooting three pointers at a rate that I think we will, that we should be able to break that team down pretty well. But we'll see. I mean, Syracuse is a long ways away from what they were, but they're young and they should hopefully give us a little bit of a test.
Then we move on to the Sprint Center game, our annual Sprint Center game against Washington. And this Washington is 130th in KenPom. They're 11th. They finished 11th in the Pac-12. And this is, you know, that was with Markel Fultz last year. They've got a new coach after the whole Lorenzo Romar, Michael Porter debacle. Not a lot of expectations for Washington, the Washington Huskies this year.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about this game. Although Sprint Center, that's the only thing that's got me concerned. I think we can win that game.
Then we've got Arizona State. This is on December 10th. Arizona State finished 8th in the Pac-12. This is Bobby Hurley's third season. Now, I don't think Sam Cunliffe will get to play in this game. I think he's eligible the next game.
Awkward for him. Now, I think this is a good, you know, another good test. Top 100 KenPom team, but again, this is a good sort of freshen up for the Big 12 season game for sure.
Then we move on to at Nebraska. They finished 13th in the Big Ten. That's kind of hard to say. 13th in the Big Ten last year. This is our return trip to Nebraska. We beat Nebraska at home last year, 89-72. Although that game was fairly close for a while.
Yeah,
that was an interesting game for a while. This will be our first true road game. We go up to their new stadium up there in Nebraska. I might try to go to that.
Yeah, I was going to say we should go. As long as it's not 10 feet of snow on the ground.
Years ago, we made a road trip up to the old stadium.
Yes.
The old stadium was kind of awesome. It was like a glorified high school stadium. And I mean that in a great way. I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
I liked that stadium.
Kind of a fun place.
Yeah, we had a good time. That was the year before they were leaving, right? So it was like our send-off of Nebraska from the Big 12.
And it's kind of a jab in the heart of Mizzou. Like, we'll play Nebraska, but we won't play you.
That's true. I like that. Good game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we play another Nebraska team, but at home, that's Omaha. That's on the 28th. They're 245th in KenPom. They finished third in the Summit League. Let's just move on and talk about Stanford, our second true road game. We go to Stanford on the 21st. Stanford is 61st in KenPom. So, you know, other than Kentucky, Stanford's our toughest game, right?
Yeah, I think so. And at least per KenPom, Jared Haas is over there, though, right?
Jared Haas's second season,
yeah.
Will be, you know, it's good to have him succeed. I don't want him to beat us, but I think I want to have Jared Haas succeed. He was always a fun guy to watch. He's one of my favorite players growing up. All right, so that was a little tedious going through these each individually, but I think it's a little bit important just to kind of get a good grasp of what is going to happen. So are you predicting we go undefeated?
I think there's the Kentucky game's a 50-50 proposition for me. I think that's a close game. I think through KenPom and looking through it, I would imagine that we've got at least one loss predicted as a whole on the non-con season. I think that's probably right. But if it's going to be, it's probably Kentucky. A lot of these other schools, I mean, maybe, you know, at Stanford or at Nebraska, we get tripped up somehow. But I think once you get past Kentucky, this is not a great non-con slate. And you're right. It could have been. I mean, you see some of these schools on there, big schools that traditionally are not terrible at basketball. But when you book these things 3 years out, you don't know for sure, and it kind of, you know, we're not going to have that crazy RPI number we've had in the past, at least until we start the Big 12 season, and then it'll fly up for sure.
Yeah, and in the Big 12, we'll get to that down the road, but I think everybody's saying, like, oh, this is going to be a down year, but I think the Big 12 is still the number one KenPom team by far.
Not even close, yeah.
And it could be because we have fewer teams, but the fewer teams are better teams, and so you're always going to play a good team as opposed
Andrew,
to
there's
the ACC.
Five teams in the top 25 in KenPom, and all 10 are in the top 50 in KenPom.
And we barely play. So technically, Stanford would be ranked last in the Big 12.
Yep.
Per KenPom.
Per KenPom. Yep.
So, you know, it'll be an interesting year. Let's talk about some storylines just generally. You know, what do you think is going to dominate the headlines, you know, these first couple months of the season? I've got a couple, but what's on your end?
I think the main question is who's going to be taking the bulk of the minutes at that kind of four spot? Are we going to be going small ball most of the time, at least through the two kind of, I guess we call it Italy, and then some of these exhibition games? We have done a majority small ball. That means that Billy Preston or Mitch or somebody is not on the floor. We've got the four guard lineup. I think that's probably right. That will probably be the case about half the time, if not a little more. It really just depends on Billy. I mean, if Billy forces his way on the floor and is too good to keep off, I mean, that'll change things. And honestly, that'd be okay, because that means he's earned that. Because this four guard lineup is no joke. I mean, that you're having Vic and Svi on the floor at the same time, and both can handle the ball a little bit, and then obviously Malik and Devontae, and then hopefully a whole lot of Udoka. That's a fun lineup to watch. And if Billy can crack that, then I think that's actually a good thing. And that'll sort of be the storyline, at least early.
You know, another one I'm thinking about is Devontae Graham. I think we're going to see a lot of... Is he the new Frank Mason? Is he the new Frank Mason?
Right.
I mean, you know, similar trajectory. They came from, you know, not highly recruited. I mean, the same guy. Like, oh, is he going to be National Player of the Year? I don't think Devontae is going to be National Player of the Year. But I think we'll have that conversation come up multiple times.
I hope so.
You know, into January, saying like, oh, he's the new Frank Mason. New Frank Mason doing it again. But his name is Devontae Graham. So I think that we'll see that. I think Devontae is going to be our leading scorer, our best player, you know, by far. And I think he'll grab all the shine from the national media.
I just hope it's not all from three-pointers. I want him to lower his shoulder a little bit, be a distributor too. Frank was so good at that. He got the free throw line freaking 8 or 9 times a game, it felt like, almost every game. He got a lot of those 20 points a game from the free throw line. It would be nice to see Devontae do that a little bit too, be a distributor, get to the rim, get to the foul line. He's a great free throw shooter, but he's obviously an excellent three-point shooter too. I obviously want him to be chucking, but it'd be nice if he's going to be the new Frank. He's got to get in the paint a little bit. I think that is an area that he's certainly worked on in the offseason. So it'll be good to see if that actually happens.
And I think he gets into the paint. He just does different things in the paint. I think he's a drive and kick guy more than a drive and try to get a leap and lean or layup and foul. But if he can add that, you know, scoring in the paint as opposed to just passing, I mean, he's basically going to be Frank Mason.
Yep, I hope so.
He's going to be this very similar player, just a little taller. You know, one other negative thing, not necessarily negative, but, you know, not from the necessarily positive standpoint of storyline that I think that we should follow going forward is Sviatoslav. Sviatoslav's very up and down. Is he going to get a lot of minutes for this team? Is he going to just be his three-point shooter? I mean, he's, you know, tried to go to the NBA, but, you know, who knows what he needs to do to get to the NBA. We've seen flashes of him, but is he going to become a complete player this year? You know, what's, you know, quote unquote, Svi, what's your deal?
I think he's got to do some similar things to what we just talked about with Devontae. He's got to be able to get to the rim. He's got to be able to handle the ball. He's a pretty good passer, but he's got to distribute in a way that sets his teammates up. He's got to show a little athleticism, which obviously was the one thing he's been working on all summer and all year, because that was what he heard from you know, the testing the waters. So he's got to be a confident guy. I do think he is a different player when he's playing confidently versus not. So that is sort of a, you know, an earned trade. Hopefully he gets that, and he's a really, you know, really strong player for us. Otherwise he won't make, I mean, he won't be on the floor near as much. I mean, that will also potentially force a decision on some of the things that we're talking about earlier with Billy and shoot, maybe even Cunliffe. So those minutes come from somewhere. If Svi's not the guy, he's going to be sitting. So hopefully he gets there though. I think he will.
Okay, Kevin, let's move on to the Jayhawk Talkies, Jayhawk Talk preseason awards. We started doing this in 2012.
I think so.
And you'll notice that some of these names, we've changed the names as we've gone on, but you'll notice that this has a very 2012 feel to it. We reference Marshall Henderson. Like this,
right.
This goes back a ways. But the first one we have renamed a couple years ago, and that is the Andrew Wiggins Player of the Year Award. This is for all Big 12 players.
It could be the Frank Mason Player of the Year. We got to think about that.
It could. Yeah, it probably should be.
Yeah.
It probably should be. But for right now, it's the Andrew Wiggins Player of the Year Award. Kevin, who is the best player in the Big 12?
I really hope it's Devontae Graham. I think it will be Devontae Graham. Javon Carter is the only one that scares me a little bit on this. But I want to go Devontae. I'm sticking with it. Devontae Graham.
Couple other guys you could think about. Vladimir Brodzianski.
Yes.
Achul from Baylor. Lecompte from Baylor.
One of the new guys.
One of the new guys. Mo Bamba from Texas could be in there. One of the other Texas guys. Or Duval from Oklahoma. But I think Devontae Graham, this is his year. He is the alpha male of the Big 12. I think you are correct. The next one, I want to come to a consensus on all these. So I have my thought. You have your thought. So then we'll talk about it. We'll come together.
Okay.
The Bill Self Coach of the Year award I have is Jamie Dixon. And that's more of a achievement award than a necessarily a Coach of the Year award, because he took that TCU team from nothing to top 25 team to top almost top 10 team in KenPom.
Yeah.
Took them from nothing to where they are now. So even if they finish, you know, they'll probably make the tournament. They won the NIT last year. I think it's more of a recognition of what he's done.
That's
so
fair.
I'll say Jamie Dixon.
I'm going to go with Lonnie Kruger, only because of what they were last year. And
I think Lonnie Kruger wins this award every year with us, because we don't give it to Bill Self.
No.
We usually give it to Lon Kruger.
Well, this one, he might actually deserve it, because, you know, whatever. They were terrible last year, but they weren't as terrible as their record was. And I think that this was, you know, that was sort of a building year to get to this one, in which I think they're actually going to be pretty good. I don't know. We could maybe do co-Beal Self Coaches of the Year with Jamie and Lonnie. But I think Kruger's got a really good shot at this.
Okay. Let's move on to the Scott Drew Ducey Coach of the Year Award. You know, coaches have kind of ebbed in and out. There's been some other guys who've earned this, but I think this year it goes to Scott Drew. You default to him, right?
Either that or Shaka. It's Drew or Shaka for me. I don't even care enough about Bruce Weber to give it to him. So I think that I think it's probably Drew or Shaka, but I don't know. Let's default to Drew, because that's easy.
Okay, let's move on to the Keaton Page Annoying White Guy of the Year Award. That goes to Dean Wade of K-State.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And this traditionally goes to a shorter, three-point shooter type of guy, like a Keaton Page or like a Phil Forte. But, you know, Dean Wade, I think he fits the bill. He's a taller guy. He's a shooter, but still annoying.
I kind of wish Dean Wade was on our team. Kansas guy. We could use a little depth.
We could. He would be great on this team.
He'd actually play. I mean, he would actually play.
He'd be great on this team.
He is still an annoying white guy, so we're going to give it to Dean Wade.
Okay, the next award is the Ryan Spangler. I wish that guy was on our team award. So Dean Wade, also contender for this. But I put a Vladimir Brodzianski.
Yes.
You know, tall white guy from Croatia who can shoot threes and pretty athletic and can pass. We could use that right now.
I like him. Yes, absolutely. I am on board with that pick.
The next award, I think this is a newer award, the Where Did They Come From Surprising Team Award. I struggled with this one. I put Texas Tech. Maybe TCU deserves this. Texas Tech, I think, is going to be better than people think. Maybe that's why I put that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the right way to approach this award, because we know TCU is going to be solid. They're a top half of the Big 12 team. We're not sure about Texas Tech. I think you're right. I think they are better than maybe some of their projections. So I agree with that. Let's go Tech.
Okay. The next one is the Travis Ford Hot Seat Coach of the Year for the 2017-2018 season. Travis Ford's gone.
Yeah.
Has been gone for a little while, but he's still the namesake of this award. Let's just talk through this a little bit. I think Shaka's probably fine unless they completely completely blow it.
Because he's got some guys this year.
Right. So, he's got some guys. He's gonna be closer, but you know, otherwise Scott Drew is fine. Jamie Dixon is fine. Beard, probably fine.
Yep.
The Oklahoma State guy, he's new. See, I don't even know his name.
I don't even know his name. That guy, the assistant. Yep.
I can't remember his name. See, the Oklahoma State guy's fine. Lon Kruger's fine. They probably want to see how he does.
This is his first year with his guys.
But he's probably fine. So that really just, and Bob Huggins can do whatever he wants. Right. That really just leaves one guy everybody's looking to.
Brucey.
Everybody Bruce Weber, that everyone in Manhattan wants to run out, want him to be gone yesterday. So I think he's, of any of these picks, he's probably the easiest one to make.
Yeah, I think so. Shaka would be the only one to sort of just keep an eye on. Just to keep an eye on.
Because but if they're bad, then they might want
to. That seat's going to get a little warmer. It'll warm up a little.
The next award is the Kim English F That Guy Award.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Javon Carter.
Yep. Agreed. That was easy. Yeah, he's kind
of been around forever.
Forever.
He gets a bunch of
steals. He's an annoying guy.
He's always good against us.
I know.
He's always incredible.
He'll score 30 points in one of the two games we play. No, no doubt about it.
And then our last award is the Marshall Henderson Sportsman of the Year Award. our favorite basketball player of the last, 5-10 years, Marshall Henderson from Ole Miss.
Yes.
And Texas Tech and Utah. He played kind of for everybody. He obviously was the incredible sportsman. We admired his sportsmanship.
Yes.
So we named this award after him. And I didn't really know because I struggled with who to give this to. There's no returning. Brandon Green's like a 3-time winner of this award. there was, Marcus Smart's a winner of this award. But so there's not really that guy in my head that's coming back who's, that type of personality other than Bob Huggins. Bob Huggins has always been that way. He's getting old enough where he just doesn't care anymore.
Right.
So I think there's something that's going to come out in a press conference on the floor where it's going to be like, I'll probably admire it. I'll probably think funny. It's funny, but it's really kind of just Bob Huggins being
Bob. Yeah, I agree with that take. I think if the Lawson brothers were playing, they might be in the running.
They might deserve it.
They might get it just as practice players, candidly.
Right.
But that'll be something else to watch, by the way. We've had a few, off the court issues come up in the past few years. The Lawson brothers might be a driving force in some of that, let's just say. We've already seen a little bit of it. Hopefully they keep cool.
And that would be an incredible feat to win that award
without playing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It is possible. Like they're in the running, right?
They're definitely need to be considered. as the Morris twin tandem. Like they're
absolutely. Oh yeah, they're together. It's a social media thing too. Like if there was no social media, like maybe it wouldn't be a thing, but they'll probably say something. I hope it's like an away game that they weren't invited, like they didn't get the thing, and then they just start talking mad shit about somebody on social media during the game. Like that will complete me. I need that to happen. So keep tweeting away, boys. I love it. So there you go. I think that's all the Jayhawk talkies.
That's it. That's the preseason Jayhawk talkies anyway. We'll do the postseason Jayhawk talkies a little bit down the road. Before the tournament starts or before the Big 12 tournament starts, we've got one final segment. This is a new segment. We're very excited for it. It's called Hey, Beal. This all stemmed from my brother attending a KU Alumni Association meeting where Bill Self attended, and they just got to ask him random questions. Some of the questions were good. Some of the questions were bad. So we thought we would help out our listeners by, if you're ever in an opportunity or get the opportunity to ask Bill Self a question, whether that's at Salty Iguana on Monday nights.
Yes.
Or, at some sort of function. Here's some questions you can ask him.
Real quick, if we get Salty Iguana to sponsor this, we will absolutely call it the Salty Iguana Hey Beal segment.
We pronounce this B-E-E-L.
But
so,
all we need...
Hey Beal.
We don't need money. We just need iguana dip. Like, we'll work for dip.
If you just give us, like, a coupon book of, like, even, like, 6 free iguana dips, we're good.
That's all we need. Yep. 6 free iguana dips, and this will forever be named the Salty Iguana.
It is the cheapest and probably most effective advertising you will ever have.
Somebody talk to iguana. Somebody get the iguana folks.
Hey, Spank, when you get Spank up here, like, give us some iguana dip.
We need to talk to Spank.
Okay,
Spank.
Hey, Beal. So if you have questions for Bill Self that you think need to be answered, just do a little hashtag, Hey, Beal. H-E-Y-B-E-E-L. Yeah. Hey, Beal. Okay.
You want to go first? Okay, go ahead.
I'll start. Hey, Beal. Was Sviatoslav involved in the Russian hacking thing? I know he's Ukrainian, and I know he was in Lawrence, but the answer is probably no. But I just wanted to get confirmation from you. Is that right, Beal?
hey, Beal. I know y'all on the Adidas thing, and there's Nike out there and Under Armour, but I really like that Hager brand from Kohl's. Maybe Hager from Kohl's. Y'all try that.
Hey. We should get sponsored by Dry Duck. We could get a Dry Duck sponsorship. I think that'd be much better. They don't mess around.
They're
not going to get caught. They're not going to get caught.
Nope. If they ain't paying no players.
Hey, Beal, I was reading on the deep message boards that Andrew Wiggins has a brother. Are we going to go after him too? I mean, we went after Connor Tien's brother.
Hey, Beal, I know you don't want to play Mizzou, but how about playing SEMO? Because I got a cousin down there in Cape Girardeau. That makes a mean chili, and I want to go see him.
hey, Beal, what do you think about a neutral site game with Wichita State? We could play him wherever we want. Like, we could play him in the Roman Coliseum. We'll just set up a court. Or how about we play him in, like, an active volcano in Indonesia where the winner gets to helicopter out, but the loser just has to figure it out. Or we could even play that neutral site game in my grandma's basement. She lives in Emporia, and she likes both teams, so it'll be a good spot.
Hey, Beal, I know you got to be recruiting in the offseason and all, but what are the chances that you could be like an assistant football coach, like a spiritual advisor or something?
I think he probably does that. Hey, Beal, speaking of football, I heard there was a football player who was going to try out for the basketball team to fill out our extra walk-on spot. I think it'd be Carter Stanley. He throws a mean bounce pass. He'd be good.
Mean bounce pass. It's got some English on it. Hey, Beal, I need you to settle a bit with my brother and me for a nickname for that big fella. Do you like Yudoka Onabroski or Yudoka Azubukaki?
Hey, Beal. I know Charlie Moore, our new guy from California. Because he's from California, I just had this question. Is Charlie Moore related to Mandy Moore? Beal?
Beal? Hey, Beal.
Beal's walking away.
Hey, Beal. Oh.
Okay, so if you've got questions
for
me.
So that was Hey,
hashtag,
Beal.
Hashtag Hey, Beal.
Hashtag Hey, Beal. All right.
H-E-Y-B-E-L. That's all I got.
We're probably going to do those throughout the season. Either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it.
Let us know if you liked that or not, because like we literally came up with these in 5 minutes, and we could have come up with 100 more.
And the key was we didn't tell each other most of them, so the point was to try to make the other person laugh, which I think we both did effectively.
Yeah, it worked. In the future, we won't even share them at all.
You just come up with
just
four or five.
We'll just close the show with Hey, Beal. If you guys like it. If you don't like it, let us know. But I think it's fun.
We're probably going to do it either way. Hey, Beal. All right. We already talked about football, so we don't have to talk about football. I think that was the last thing we had on our list, but we don't have to do that now. So that's like kind of a relief. But, Andrew, it's basketball season. I'm excited.
It's basketball season. The regular season starts on Friday.
Wow.
So I'm ready to go. I'm going to be there Tuesday and Friday. I just get myself jacked up.
Yes, sir.
And then we've got Kentucky next week. So next Sunday is probably going to be a Kentucky-heavy podcast.
Yep.
We'll maybe have some Kentucky insights from somebody from some way.
Maybe.
I don't really know anything about their team. Yeah. Which is unusual.
Yeah, usually you know like, something. Yeah, but they're just super duper young and unproven. So it will be an interesting game faux show at the Champions Classic. If you want to hit us up, find us on Twitter at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops. Give us those hashtag Hey Beals. If you got a question, we'll ask it. If we get some good ones from Twitter, like we'll do those too, right? Like if we'll just steal some of those as well.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. So, like, if you got a good one, like, come on, like, bring it. You got to make them funny, though. Like, don't just make them, like, Hey, Beals, but, like, make them, Hey, Beals, and then there's a good chance they'll get read on the show. And let's see. Go on to the good old iTunes box. Give us a 5-star rating and a comment. Andrew, we did have one comment this past. Did you see the comment?
No.
It was a 5-star rating, and it said something funny, but now I can't remember what it was. So... Next time around, if you give a funny comment, that will probably get read on the podcast too. So next time I will read the funny comment the last person did. It was like a 3-word comment, so it would be a short read. But do that. Leave us a 5-star rating. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Tell a friend about the podcast. We are back. As we told you, we did not lie. We said we were going to be back on Sundays, and it is 2 Sundays in a row. And we're going to try to do 3 Sundays in a row, and 4 and 5 and 6. So hold us to it. We're happy to be back, and happy KU basketball is back. Andrew, Rock Chalk. And if you love it, then I love it, because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, 9 times get the cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now, yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chalk Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chalk Jayhawk in your faces. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it,